You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are diving into the first of the encouragement-based principles. So we have been working through the principles of play therapy, and we've covered the principles related to reflecting feelings, choice giving, limit setting, and we're finally diving into the final group, which is the encouragement skill-based principles. So today we are talking through noticing your child is a powerful builder of self-esteem. And of course, this comes from the CPRT training, so this applies for us as clinicians in the playroom, but it also applies to the way that we encourage parents to support the work that we're doing at home. So noticing the child is a powerful builder of self-esteem. So I want to talk through three components of that. So first is attention is everything. In this world where everything is vying for our attention, and everything is constantly trying to steal our attention, when we give it, and it's very clearly given, it's extremely powerful. It means a lot. So we'll dive into that. Secondly, I think kids are just kind of lost and adrift in the sea of life these days. And the impact of that is pretty significant. And so there needs to be an antidote. So we'll dive in there. And then finally, self-fulfilling prophecy is a very real thing, and I think that we have to be aware as clinicians of what kids believe about themselves. And that's why the encouragement pillar, when we're talking about the four pillars of play therapy, that's why the encouragement pillar has such a significant piece in the work that we do in the playroom. But self-fulfilling prophecy is a related add on there. So I think we have to be cognizant of what that looks like for our kids. So let's look at those individually. When we give intentional, focused, and purposeful attention to a child, it helps them self-actualize. I mean, let's go back, and I don't know how long you've been with me. So if you're new, welcome. If you've been with me forever, glad you're still here. But early on in our curriculum, we talked through Rogers and person-centered and how it evolved into child-centered. And so when we talked about the history and the theoretical piece of all of this in those early episodes, seems like forever ago, but it was only like 9 months. So, oh my goodness. But when we had all of that, we obviously talked through self-actualization, right? The process of becoming the best version of yourself that you can be. And there are the core conditions that are required, and there's the relationship with the therapist that's required, and kids need the time, the tools, and the opportunity to get there, right? So there's all of these prerequisites that lead into the self-actualization process. But one of the most significant pieces of that is intentional, focused, and purposeful attention. Because when we devote an entire hour and we just attend to a child, it gives them the place and the freedom and the self-belief to self-actualize. They become a better version of themselves. So it's a really, really amazing process. And I actually did an episode not too long ago in my Play Therapy Parenting podcast, which this is more geared for therapists and clinicians. The Play Therapy Parenting podcast, which has been around much longer, is more geared toward parents. And I did an episode about the child is about to become. And that is really what this is all about, right? So when we notice a child, we're essentially implying, I know that you're about to become, fill in the blank, I know that you're about to become regulated. I know that you're about to become brave. I know that you're about to become capable. I know that you're about to become balanced. Whatever it is that the child is working on, they are about to become that. And that's the self-actualization process. I can and want to become a better version of myself. So when the actual is very far away from the ideal, remember we talked about this before, when the ideal self versus the actual self, the further they get apart, the harder it is to bridge the gap. So when we give kids attention, when we're focused and purposeful and intentional, we communicate to them, you have this moment to become a better version of yourself. They don't always choose to take it, but it changes things. So that's my first thought. My second thought is, I feel like kids are just kind of adrift right now. They're just kind of lost and being swept away by all of the waves on the sea of life. And they're pulled in 1,000 directions, and schools have become so awful, and they are overscheduled, and they're overbooked, and they're overworked, and they're overtired, and they're overcommitted, and they're not sleeping enough, and they're given hours of homework. The expectation academically has increased so much. I mean, we have kindergartners doing hours of homework a night. I mean, you look at the pace of life right now, and it's awful for kids. So this isn't doomsday, I promise. I'm getting somewhere. When we recognize all of that, nowhere else except for the playroom each week do our kids have that place and that person where everything is devoted to them. They get the time, they get the attention, they get the energy, they get the focus, they get the kindness, they get the acceptance. I mean, it's like this respite from the craziness of life. And so therefore, that 50 minutes that we spend with our kids and we notice them, that we can't over explain the depth of that for a child. Every week when I go see Miss Brenna, she pays all of her attention to me. Everything is about what I need and what I want and what I'm working on. And I'm loved and I'm accepted and I'm valued and I'm noticed. I mean, that you can see the power of all of that. So our playroom and our time spent with our kids, it's the antidote to the craziness of their world, because they don't get any other person or place or time, that they just have an hour for themselves. And a related aside, bonus freebie, that's actually one of the things that I talk to about my teens. I talk to about with my teens, because sometimes when you have older kids, like 12, 13, 14 come in and they see the playroom and they see the baby dolls and the Play-Doh and all this stuff that they haven't played with in years, and they give you this look like, are you kidding me? You have to help them understand what the purpose is. And so not only do we say, yeah, this feels a little bit uncomfortable because you see toys that you don't really want to play with, but I see kids as young as 3, and then I see kids as old as teenagers, so I have stuff for everyone in here. So you have to normalize it that, yes, there's stuff that I'm not going to expect you to play with, but it's in here for younger kids. But beyond that, it's really important that you explain to them why. And so what I say to the teens every single time is, this is an hour each week that's just for you. You can do with it what you want. You can make of it what you want. You can talk. You can play. You can draw. You can have cards. You can do nothing. You can stare at the wall. But where in your life do you have an hour that's just for you? And the answer is always, I don't use absolutes unless I mean them, the answer is always never. I wonder if you have an hour that's just for you each week. No, never. Well, you do now. And that changes the whole tone, because now all of a sudden, oh, there's no expectations here. And that's the whole premise of noticing a child. I'm just going to sit and notice you. And I'll notice you in any state that you're in. I'll notice you in anything you choose to do or not do. So extremely powerful. We have to kind of provide the antidote to them being adrift and cast around by waves all over the place. And then finally, the self-fulfilling prophecy definitely plays in here. So when you feel noticed, when you feel valued, when you feel accepted and loved and liked, it makes you believe that those things are true. I must be valuable. I must be likable. I must be lovable. I must be noticeable. So there's this really powerful self-fulfilling prophecy that's taking place where kids are internalizing the message, there's a reason why Miss Brenna acts like this. There's a reason why she likes being with me. There's a reason why she values her time with me. Therefore, I must be capable. I must be brave. I must be competent. I must be all of these things. And self-fulfilling prophecy very clearly works in the negative light as well. So when a child is told or shown or implied to be disobedient or snarky or sarcastic or rude or mean or aggressive or whatever, they will also fulfill that prophecy. But when you notice a child and you notice them for who they are at their core, it helps them to believe that there's a reason that someone thinks those things about them, and therefore they work to become that person. So noticing a child is a powerful builder of their self-esteem. We cannot really understand the depth of that, I don't think. And so when we're in a session with the child, our just taking notice is extremely meaningful. And there's a lot of strength and depth in the use of that. And obviously, of course, when we help parents know what to do at home, having them notice their child is also an extremely powerful builder of self-esteem. I just finished a CPRT training with a family, and I asked them, you know, what are your thoughts about what stood out to you in this training? And the mom said that the noticing the child as the powerful builder of self-esteem was one of the things that resonated with her the most, and that she has seen the power and the evidence of that since she has been very diligent using that at home with their son. So it's really important. And I mean, the good news is it's a very easy thing to do in the playroom, right? It doesn't take a lot of forethought and a lot of planning to just notice the child, because that's the entire premise, right? So we sit, we let the child lead, and we reflect back to them what's going on. So that is all the process of noticing them. So it doesn't take a whole lot of extra work, but it has a lot of extra impact. So I hope that that encourages you. I hope that that challenges you to make sure that you're being very purposeful when you are interacting with kids and their families and helping everyone understand the importance of noticing kids. Go to playtherapynow.com. If you are interested in additional training opportunities, I have several listed there, and you'll find all kinds of information there. And you can always reach out to me at Brenna@thekidcounselor.com if you'd like to submit a question or just say hello. I love to hear from you. Thank you for all of you who've been emailing me. It's been such a cool experience to talk to people all over the world. So as always, I appreciate you being a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.